Come, Holy Spirit, come by the most powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Have you ever had the experience of delighting in someone that you love? Rejoicing, finding joy in someone that you deeply love? Perhaps it's a spouse, a child, a parent, a friend. But having this moment, this experience of seeing the goodness of another person, the love that you have for them, and it brings you joy. Perhaps the most profound experience of this in this life is a parent looking upon a newborn child. You see, we were made by love for love. And when we experience love in its deepest, most purest form, it fills our heart with joy. It's what we were made for. And in that moment of experiencing that love, we're not thinking about ourselves. We actually forget about ourselves and we're focused upon the other. We don't love them because it gives us joy. Loving them for their own sake is what fills our heart with joy. But I think we also know that we don't go through life constantly having these experiences. They have a tendency to come and go. But if we've had that experience, I hope we all have, I hope we all continue to have them. That's a small glimpse of what's waiting for us in heaven, of what the angels and saints whom we honor today experience constantly for all eternity in a way beyond our ability to comprehend. Because the love that we have for the people in our life here on earth, the goodness that we see in them and the joy that we find in them are all imperfect, finite. But in heaven, as we heard in our second reading, we will see God as he truly is, no longer by faith, but by sight. The veil will be taken away, and we will stand before infinite perfect goodness, and we will share in infinite perfect love, and that will fill us with an infinite perfect joy for all eternity. It'll never get old, it'll never fade. That's what's waiting for us. That's what we're called to. And in order to arrive there, we have to follow the example of those who have gone before us, the saints who we honor today. And if we live our lives as they did, we can begin to experience here on earth a fuller participation in that heavenly joy. And we do that by imitating how they lived their lives. The two great commandments, the two things that make us saints, to love God above all things and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And just like in those moments where we rejoice in the love of a family member, a friend, it's not about us, it's about the other. Love is not self-centered. So if we can live our lives more and more by loving God for his own sake, above all else, loving our neighbor as ourselves, that purity of love, that true love, will then fill our hearts with joy. And that joy and that love can build and build and build until they reach the perfection of heaven. There's also something interesting in our readings this evening from the first reading of the book of Revelation. St. John has this vision of heaven. And what are the angels and saints doing in heaven? All the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They prostrated themselves before the throne, worshiped God, and exclaimed. Heaven is the eternal worship of God. That's the service, the love that we will offer to him for all eternity. Because when we see God as he truly is, his infinite goodness and love, the proper response to that is worship, adoration, praising God and thanking him. Well, we can also begin to experience a foreshadowing and a foretaste of that here on earth. And that's what we're supposed to be experiencing when we come to Mass. Mass is our earthly participation in the heavenly worship of the angels and saints. But I think we've all had the experience, and sometimes you hear people say things like this, you know, I really don't get that out of Mass. I don't get that much out of Mass. You know, it's boring, it's distracting. And I know as parents, you're, you know, constantly dealing with things, and we don't always have that subjective experience of what Mass is supposed to be. But one of the biggest obstacles there is that sometimes we come to Mass with the wrong intention. Anytime you hear somebody say, I don't get that much out of Mass, that's a big red flag. Because that's not why we're at Mass. We're not here for what we get out of it. We're here for what we're called to give, to offer. We're here to worship God. We're here to praise Him and thank Him for His love, for creating us, for redeeming us. We're here to pay homage to our Lord Jesus Christ, that He laid down His life for us on the cross. Mass is not about us. It's about God. And the more we can tweak to the degree that it's necessary our perspective and the reason that we're at Mass, the good news is that then we will get out of it what God intends us to, which is an increase in our faith, hope, and our love, and in the joy that we experience in worshiping God. There's a few things that sometimes get in the way of our experience at Mass when we're perhaps focused on the wrong things. Mass is not about the homily. It's not about whether or not you get something out of it or relate to it. If you do, praise God. But if you don't, it's not the end of the world. Mass is not about whether you can understand the priest. It's not even about whether Mass is in a language that you understand. Mass is not about whether the priest is facing you, whether you can see what's going on. It's not about whether you like the music or the decorations. And it's not that those things are unimportant, but those things are not directed towards us. They need to be directed and ordered to the worship of God. And the more we can have this proper perspective, the more we can love God for His own sake and worship Him because it is right and just, then we will begin to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and we'll begin to experience in this life the joy that's waiting for us in the perfect worship, the perfect adoration that the angels and saints offer to God for all eternity in heaven.